Okay. All right. Let me just pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that as we come to look at it now, we just ask that you would help us, guide us, Lord. Holy Spirit, just come and fill our minds with truth. And we ask, Lord, that that we would be able to hear your voice really clearly, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you would have guessed the theme of the service already, huh? The way the Lord orchestrates things is amazing. Huh? So this week there are many students who've picked up their final set of results from school. And finally crossing that threshold, knowing that they never can be forced to go back. It's a major milestone in growing up, isn't it? You know? And I don't know about you, but you remember the day that you left school. I know it'll be more difficult for some of you than others. But I wonder if you can remember what that was like. I didn't finish school at the end of A-levels. I did go back and start them, but I wasn't very studious in those days. And I just wanted to get out and start work. And in the end, I knew that I had to leave, but I had to go and have an exit interview with the deputy headmaster, and he wished me well. And then I came out, and it felt freedom, freedom. My chains have gone. I've been set free. I just remember feeling really relieved. It's like the whole world had changed, you know. And it was amazing. I was just thinking, you know, well, what are the possibilities? I can do anything, or at least whatever my mum allows me to do. But very soon I got a job, thinking that this was it. You know, it was only going to get better. I started working in Barclays Bank in Penarth, up in the town centre, and I started with such genuine enthusiasm and optimism, only to realise that a fairly short space of time that I had sold my soul for £342 a month, and it had plunged me into the third level of hell. And that work was just like school, only that you did the same lesson every day, day after day. And whilst there were some lovely people that I worked alongside, we were all slaves to the grind. So what is freedom? What is freedom? I was praying about this week, and it was the thing that the Lord set on my heart, and I was taken to the passage that we're going to read together in a second. Gordon's already got there before us, which is normally the case. He's the prophet. He's there before us. Because freedom is a struggle that exists all around us, isn't it? For many people, freedom is being liberated from a particular situation. Poverty, debt, slavery, abuse, war. And sometimes the impact of the circumstances around us can seem so overbearing, it's difficult for us to think of freedom in any other way, because they press in so difficultly upon us. And through the 50s and the 60s in America, and I didn't know you were going to be here, but it's great that you are, but in the 50s through to the 90s in South Africa, it was about liberation, freedom within society. And in these struggles, freedom had a very particular definition shaped by the circumstances that people were experiencing. But the question that we ask is, when those situations changed, did people really become free? Or did they just find themselves in a different situation with a different set of issues? Do you see what I'm doing with this? What is freedom? Because very often we believe that our freedom will exist when the new day comes. When the situation changes, when the issue is resolved, or when the bank balance shows a certain amount of money, or we don't have to deal with that person anymore. And very often when these things occur, we might feel some degree of liberation, but we just find ourselves in reality in a different circumstance with a different set of issues. So is it possible to be free? And if so, what does that look like? Well, you won't be surprised to hear that I think the Bible has something to say about that. In fact, it is a major theme in the Christian message, freedom. And we're going to read some verses together from the book of Galatians, Paul's epistle to the church. And we're going to read the whole of chapter 5. And it'll be up here on the screen if you haven't got your Bibles. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion doesn't come from one who calls you. From the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they'd go the whole way and emasculate themselves. But you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Some great words from a great letter to the church, which is all about freedom. It's the central theme of Paul's letter. And there are three things that I think we can learn from this letter, from this passage, that help us to understand what freedom really is. And the first thing is this. Freedom is a relationship with God. Freedom is a relationship with God. Verse 13, Paul says, you were called to be free. So somebody was calling you into freedom. Amen? So in verse 1, Paul tells us that it was freedom, for freedom, that Christ has set us free. So there was purpose. God had freedom here. And he took you from here and put you there. You didn't do that. It was in relationship with Him. Freedom comes when we're in relationship with God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when we come into relationship with others, we benefit from that relationship. When I met Karen, she had a car. Hallelujah. And I got the benefit of that car. While we were on holiday in Canada, we benefited from access to a wonderful lake house. Karen's sister-in-law's family owned a lake house right by the side of the lake, and a jet ski and a boat. And I married well. I married well. And when we have relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we inherit a host of blessings because we enter into that relationship. Do you know, it just blows my mind every time I think about it, every day, what it just means to be in Christ. The fact, because I'm in Christ, therefore I am in the Trinity. I see this, I'm like, In Christ, we inherit everything that Christ inherits. Direct access to the Father. Partnership with the Holy Spirit. We are caught up in this amazing eternal relationship. That just blows my mind. I spend the rest of my life trying to work that one out. And honestly, if we were to just to get into what that looks like in terms of the blessings that the Bible sort of lays out for us, we could spend, you know, the next few years just unpacking what that actually means. So amazing it is. And we need to get our heads around it. But here are some, you know, when we're in relationship with the Father, we're in relationship with the source of life. He is the one that gives us identity. He's the one that can give us purpose. He's the one that can protect us and provide us with everything that we need. He's the one that welcomes us. And when we're in relationship to the Son, then it tells us we have an advocate who's praying for us. Jesus prays for you every day. Hallelujah. We have a Lord who is the Lord of everything. He is the Lord of every single situation. He's the Lord over your life, over your family's life, over your work situation. He is the Lord and He reigns over your business life, your school life, whatever. He is the Lord. He is our Savior. He is our King. He is our Redeemer. And when we're in relationship with the Holy Spirit, then we have access to the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. We receive comfort from the Holy Spirit. We receive power. We receive correction. He guides us. Even in this short list, we can begin to identify a lot of what we aspire towards in life. These things that we get from being, that's what we aspire towards. That's what we would love to fill our lives with. And it's ours because of this relationship. It is afforded to us through this relationship with God. The Bible tells us that we are adopted into the family of God. It uses words like we are heirs to the kingdom, joint heirs with the Son. We get to inherit. And true freedom comes from understanding that the significance of this relationship that we have, that we receive through faith, applies to our lives. This means that we ought to look constantly towards God to sustain and maintain freedom in our lives. No other things. The freedom that we experience does not come to us through any other way than through relationship with God. Which brings us on to the second point, and it is this, that freedom is the result of the death of Jesus. Freedom is the result of the death of Jesus. Throughout his letter to the church, Paul is constantly reaffirming the fact that true freedom only comes through faith in Christ. His death, his resurrection, the significance of his life and the work that he did being completed. And the issues that Paul was facing in Galatia came from well-meaning Jews who were arguing that even though Jesus was who he said he was, it didn't mean that they no longer needed the law. They thought that they ought to continue to observe all that the restrict all of the commandments of the law, to maintain their salvation. And in verses 2 to 6, Paul specifically addresses this issue of circumcision and basically says, you can't have both. You can't have the law and Christ. You either have one or the other. And the consequences of that. You either follow what the law says, and therefore you put yourself under the curse of the law. Why was the law a curse? Because the reality was that no one could ever fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. So one, it was a curse that Jesus brought us out of. You either choose the law or you choose Jesus. You choose that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice that paid the price to set people free, to make them right with God for all time. That his death became the only way through which relationship with God was made completely open. We only come into the relationship through Christ. Jesus said that. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And even though Christianity is not a formula, I'm going to give you a formula this morning. One that I want you to remember when you're battling for your sense of freedom, which happens to all of us. Karen mentioned in her prayer that the thief wants to come to rob, kill, and destroy. Your freedom is exactly what he is after. Our freedom will be contended for. When you come under pressure, you will be tempted. And you will be tempted to do something yourself. You'll work harder. You'll pray more. You'll come to church more often. You'll give more to the poor. You'll serve with more energy. And we'll try to find a way of buying back our freedom. And there's a specific phrase for these actions when we take them, and we've all taken them. The Bible calls them dead works. Dead works. Dead works happen when we try to supplement the work of Jesus on the cross by either justifying our salvation, I've done this for you, God, so therefore you owe me this, or by maintaining our salvation. I deserve to remain saved because I've earned it. Look at the things that I've done. These are unnecessary dead works. Dead because there's no life in them. There's no point in them. They may be good in and of themselves, but they hold no value in relation to our redemption and to our freedom. So the formula I want to give you this morning is simply this. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So often we draw away. The book of James tells us this. He warns us about the process of temptation. Lures us into wrong thinking and desire. When we give space to the temptation to do other things, to try to justify ourselves or to try to make things better, it gives... Temptation gives birth to desire, and desire gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. What then are we to do when we're fighting for our freedom and we're tempted? Psalm 46, verse 10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Stop. Reflect. Meditate on the sacrifice of Christ. Meditate on the victory of Christ, the truth of Christ, the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the worship of Christ, the sovereignty of Christ. Be still. Don't move. Don't do anything other than remember who He is and what He has already done. Those who are free indeed. Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished." Everything that you need to come into relationship with God, to live in freedom, is done. It's done. You just need to accept it. You need to believe it in faith. Receive it. But Jesus plus nothing has to be everything. It is enough. So freedom is relationship with God. But freedom is also the result of the death of Jesus. And lastly, freedom is life in the Spirit. Freedom is life in the Spirit. They say the best way to learn a language is to go and, you know, live in that place. When I was a bit young, we used to have students from Belgium that would come across every year and stay with us. And it was great, and we used to get the same ones coming back. But we got to know one of the teachers who came back year after year, and I really loved the French language. It was something that I just really enjoyed in school. Partly because, you know, the relationship that I had, you know, and he said, come across. He said, work in my dad's cafe, you know. I was only 16, I think, at the time. But that's the reality, though. That's the best way to learn the language, is to go and really understand it, is to submerge yourself into the whole culture, surround yourself with people who say the same things. Being free is life in the Spirit of God. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. And these last verses of the chapter explain that we continue to walk in freedom by walking in the life of the Spirit. And what does this mean? What does it mean to live in the life of the Spirit? It simply means that our spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes in, becomes alive. In Ephesians, it talks about how we were dead in our sin, but you've been now made alive in Christ. And it's talking about our spirit life. And our spirit comes alive and it begins to communicate with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God comes and takes residence within us. And we have this communion, the mystery of the communion of our spirit and God's spirit existing, coexisting within us. And we have this relationship so that we can understand what God is saying to us. He speaks to us through our word. He speaks to us and communicates to us through our spirit into our soul. Our soul being our mind, our will, and our emotions. What we think, what we feel, and what we choose to do. And our circumstances have no bearing on this relationship. What is happening here doesn't impact here in reality. Okay? Well, our spirit and our relationship with God is an untouchable relationship. It says, who can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Nothing. If you believe differently, then you're believing a lie. And there's a distortion there in your thinking. Because it is the Spirit of God that is within us that connects with our spirit, and nothing can cut across that other than our choice to cut him off. Our flesh, however, is connected directly to the things around us. we're influenced by circumstances and it's the needs of our flesh or the needs that come in through that, our flesh, our senses. You know, so through the body we experience the world and we make sense of the reality of where we are. And our flesh also speaks to our soul. Our flesh also wants to dictate what we think, what we do, and what we feel. And so there's this battle that goes on between our spirit and our flesh for dominance. So our flesh will say, I want to dominate, and you need to do this. And our spirit is saying, no, don't do that, do this. And we need to give, when we need to walk, what Paul says, we need to walk in the light of the Spirit. We need to allow the Spirit to reign. We need to make a choice and say, I am going to live and allow my spirit, your spirit, to dictate what I think, feel, and do. Whilst I live in connection, I'm still connected to this. This is going to determine what I do here, and not the other way around. Very often, it's the other way around. And there's a battle. Very often when the pressure comes in, we move things about and we start to work and operate in the flesh because that's what we know. We try to take things and do things ourselves. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And Jesus said that he was going so that the Spirit would come. That it was the work of the Spirit in every situation to lead us into truth, to correct us when we sin. It's in the presence of the Spirit that brings transformation to the inner life, that changes things, changes the way we think and feel. The fruit of the Spirit, it says in verse 22, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know about you, but if I came across someone who oozed all of these attributes, I think I'd be quite jealous, firstly, but you'd probably be accurate in describing them as free. You'd think, this guy's free, full of joy. Look at the circumstances that they're in, and yet they're full of joy. They're full of peace. They ooze peace. They're so self-controlled, so patient. That's how we would describe somebody who was, at least I would say. The hope that we have here is that we can continue to experience the fullness of the freedom that God gives us through our relationship with Him, through the Spirit, despite the circumstances that we're in. And this is where most of our battles are fought. And so we need to decide when we are going through the storm, when what it is that we're going to allow to feed our soul, for whatever we feed into our soul will shape the way that it grows. If it's not the voice of the Spirit, it will be my voice, or your voice, or somebody else's voice, or the voice of the world, or the voice of the circumstance, or it will be a demonic voice pretending to be good advice. If you want true freedom, it's only going to happen in relationship with God. And my belief and my experience is that you will continue to walk in restlessness until you come to know that as absolutely true in your life. You will continue to be restless. St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. If you want to know true freedom this morning, it is found in your relationship with God. If you want to know freedom this morning, you need to understand that Jesus has made it all possible. It has been completed. You don't have to add anything to it. You don't need to change the situation. You don't need to wait for a better day. You don't need to wait for more money. You don't need to deal with that person. You have freedom today. If you believe in Christ and you believe in the work that He did on the cross, then freedom is yours. But you have to walk in the life of the Spirit, and you have to listen to the Spirit's voice, and you need to give space for the Spirit to speak to you and direct you and control your life. You have to make space for that. Because if you don't, guess what? You'll go back into slavery. You'll go back into slavery. And so I want to encourage you today to be free. To know freedom. To know that Jesus has given everything for your freedom. To know that you are and totally free. There are some this morning that really need to hear this. I was so impressed in my spirit for today. There are some of you that are trying to do things to get free. And I just want to tell you, stop doing those things to try to get free. If you believe in Christ, you're free already. You just need to believe it through faith. I'm not trying to be flippant in that. I know that sometimes it is difficult because those voices are so powerful in our lives. But the Spirit is more powerful. Christ has broken every power. Every power is under his feet. So if you want to know freedom, if you want to know what it feels like to walk in life with a clear conscience, freedom for me is like a clear conscience, you know, to know that today I am totally free. Let's pray for a second. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that there's freedom in your presence. We thank you that there's truth in your presence. And I want to pray this morning, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, Lord, as I pray for myself. Lord, that you would help us to be free in you, to know what that means and what that looks like, to know that relationship with you has brought us that freedom. Lord, would you forgive us, Lord? Forgive us for settling for something else, Lord, or for trying to find freedom in other places. Would you help us right now to let go of those things, Lord? Lord, we want to repent, Lord. That means to turn around, to have a different mindset, a different way of thinking. Lord, we want to repent of dead works, Lord, of doing things that we think are going to help to get us free. And Lord, we want to ask that you would break us free, Lord, from the voices that lead us into temptation to think differently. Would you allow the truth of your word this morning to bring freedom into our hearts, Lord? Would you help us to know that through our faith in Jesus and the completed work of the cross, that we have full relationship with you, Father? That the fullness of that relationship means that every blessing is afforded to us under heaven. The joy of being caught up in relationship with Jesus, Holy Spirit, and you, Father, are ours fully, for now and for eternity. And would you help us? Would you help us to know how to walk in the Spirit, in the life? Would you, Lord, would you enable us to hear and to understand what is going on within each one of us, Lord, and what we're allowing to feed our souls? And I pray, Lord, this morning, even as we're speaking, and that your voice would start to penetrate, that your word would start to reshape and remold and recalibrate our mind, our will, and our emotions, Lord, so that we are able to know what your way is and to walk in it. Father, I pray your blessing upon us as your people, Lord, that you would maintain us in this freedom, Lord. You'd help us to understand what freedom looks like, free from the conventions of man. Lord, desperately free us from that, from feeling like we've got to conform to anything other than your Spirit and your word. I pray a prayer of a release today. Lord, would you set us free? Help us to know that we're free, and help us to continue to walk in the fullness of that freedom, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I know we've got the barbecue that will be going on in a second. We're going to sing one song to finish off. And then Craig's going to tell us what needs to happen. But I also want to invite, if you want to talk about that, if you want to talk about what that means to you, maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you this morning, you feel, don't go from here if you feel like you need prayer, okay? I know we're doing stuff together, but we're still family, and the Lord wants to do business, so I'd be happy to speak with you and to pray with you afterwards. Thank you. Yeah, come to your altar. Yeah. Let's stand together.